This morning on WCHL, today marks the anniversary of a day that many here in the Chapel Hill Carborough community will never, ever forget.
Victim has been identified as Eve Carson, age 22. A UNC senior and current UNC student body president.
That was exactly 7 years ago. The graduate program at Carolina was put under the microscope in an article in Sunday's News and Observer after revelations were made that special permissions were given for athletes at Carolina. And UNC Chancellor Emeritus James Meeser calls on residents of North Carolina to stand up for our state's university system. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports. The Carolina women's basketball team finished its regular season ranked number 15 in the country, but with the incredible talent around the ACC this season, they'll have no chance to have an off game in the conference tournament. Coming up this week, Tar Heels will start play tonight. Art Chansky will also be along this morning on your WCHL Thursday Morning News.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
49 degrees, 707 at WCHL, and a winter weather advisory goes into effect starting at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Some real inclement weather on the way, and it's as warm as it'll get today. After the afternoon gets here, about lunchtime, temperatures will start to go down. They will plummet all the way down to about the freezing point by the end of the day. And then tonight, much cooler with a low down around 20. A chance of freezing rain and sleet and ice accumulation around the trace. So the winter weather is back. Today marks the anniversary of a dark day that many here in the Chapel Hill Carborough UNC community will never forget. WCHL's Aaron Keck has the story.
On March 5th, 2008, Eve Carson was shot and killed.
Victim has been identified as Eve Carson, age 22, a UNC senior and current UNC student body president. Eve was a resident of Chapel Hill and a highly regarded member of the university community.
That was then Chapel Hill Police Chief Brian Curran. It's been 7 years now since that day, and Eve Carson's spirit lives on at UNC. The Eve Carson Scholarship is awarded annually to rising seniors at UNC who are making a difference in our community and around the world. UNC Media Relations Assistant Helen Buchanan.
The Eve Carson Scholarship was established here at the university, and it was to further Eve's mission here. You know, she loved this university with all her heart, and she loved the students here. And the Eve Carson Scholarship is a way to celebrate those students who exhibit that same passion and growth here at Carolina, and much like Eve did.
Buchanan adds that the scholarship is very peer-driven, with a selection committee made up of students.
The values that Eve instilled from this university, it's about empathy and passion and being inquisitive about the world. So what better way than to have students celebrate that with their peers?
Buchanan says several of the scholarship recipients stand out as carrying on the legacy that Carson left behind.
Any interested junior in the scholarship, passionate about food donations or helping poor in Africa, there have been all sorts of things. We had one student who actually received one of the first ones. He's actually transformed his into a cancer research donation fund.
Buchanan says 2 to 3 scholarships are typically awarded each year. The scholarships cover for half of the students' tuition, as well as a $5,000 stipend for their summer service project. The spirit of helping others helps Eve Carson's memory live on.
Hey, y'all. My name is Eve Carson, and I'm your student body president. It's great to be in Chapel Hill. If you're a returning student, can't wait to see you again. If you're a new student, welcome to the Carolina family.
You can donate to the Eve Carson Scholarship through a link on our website, chapelboro.com. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
That brings back all those memories of 7 years ago. UNC Chancellor Emeritus James Meeser was the chancellor at the time of the Eve Carson murder. Knew Eve Carson quite well, worked with her on a number of projects, and her role as UNC student body president. And Meeser now is calling on residents of North Carolina to stand up for the state's universities. WCHL's Blake Hodge has the story.
Anxiety has fallen on much of the UNC campus following decisions recently made by the University System Board of Governors, from the removal of Tom Ross as president of the UNC system to the closure of centers on 3 campuses across the state. Chancellor Emeritus James Meeser says that he believes there is one motivating factor for these decisions.
There's an old saying, when they say it's not about money, it's about money. And my corollary to that is, when they say it's not about politics, It's about politics.
Now, Meeser is referring to the dramatic shift among state lawmakers and correspondingly to the appointed members of the Board of Governors.
I think the things that have happened in the last few weeks, decisions by the Board of Governors, comments that have been made publicly by state policymakers and leaders, has sent a chill across the campus and into the faculty, and I think a lot of people are concerned about whether this university will be able to stay on course.
Meeser adds that he's concerned many faculty members may end up leaving the university if they feel the university's academic freedom has been compromised along with the work that they do.
Which includes questioning public leaders and their motives and having the freedom to speak out.
Now, he adds that he wrote this particular article to appeal to the residents of Chapel Hill and all of the Tar Heel State to stand up for the university system.
Right now, the faculty are very concerned about the state of the university, and that's why, in a sense, the purpose of this piece was really directed not to the campus, but beyond the campus to the people of this state who I know love this university, cherish it, actually, and don't want to see harm done to it.
Meeser says that he believes this is a crucial time for the university and the people who are questioning its direction.
What people always do, they speak up and they say, enough, stop this political interference. This university has never been the pawn of any political group. Let's not let it become that. There's too much at stake here, a great university.
Meeser credits the 17-campus university system for many of the advances made in the Tar Heel State.
The University of North Carolina really led the whole South and allowed North Carolina to be different from the rest of the South. And as a result, we are a different state today. We have Research Triangle Park, we have great universities, we have Charlotte. So much came to North Carolina because of the greatness of confluence of great universities right here in the Triangle. That is not something to be trifled with.
Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board members will get their first look at next year's spending plan when the board meets tonight. Superintendent Tom Forcello's budget proposal hasn't yet been released, but school officials are already eyeing the possibility that state lawmakers could demand changes to the current teacher pay plan that would impact our local budget. The board will also address school overcrowding. Next year, administrators estimate Glenwood Elementary, Sewell Elementary, Smith Middle School, and Carborough High School will all be over capacity. Finally, the board will respond to a proposal from Obi Creek developers to donate land across from Southern Village for a potential school site. The Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board meets at 7 o'clock tonight at Chapel Hill Town Hall. WCHL will have a full report in the coming days. North Carolina statewide school board could close four charter schools after a string of bad news about the non-traditional public schools running into financial problems, including an audit that said one left taxpayers with debts after mismanaging money for years. The State Board of Education yesterday reviewed plans to revoke the operating agreements of those schools, which can use taxpayer money with more flexibility than regular public schools. A decision is scheduled sometime today. Records show the board last revoked a charter school in July of 2012. They've only done it four times since an early crackdown 15 years ago, just 2 years after North Carolina's first charter schools opened. And clergy and advocates differ whether judicial officials are obligated by law to carry out civil same-sex marriages in North Carolina, even if they object to gay marriage based on religious grounds. Several people addressed yesterday a House Judiciary panel considering a Senate bill approved last week that would allow a magistrate or assistant or deputy register of deeds to refuse to carry out marriage duties. Episcopal Church rector, the Reverend Lorraine Lundgren, says government officials take an oath to impartially and faithfully carry out the law and the rights of individuals. But the Reverend Mark Creech of the Christian Action League of North Carolina says the First Amendment means any person can practice their religious beliefs without fear of state reprisal. No vote was taken on the bill yesterday. WCHL News Time, 7:15. I'm now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Grimble Jewelers. And now here's Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Northbound Fordham Boulevard still looking pretty good. No problems as you make your way towards Manning Drive and 54. Once you access I-40, if you're heading towards RTP this morning, that's looking good as well without any delays as you make your way to the airport exit. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 967-8363 or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Nikki Morse is already engaged, but if you're looking for an engagement ring, you're thinking about popping the question, or that custom piece that you've been dreaming of for a long time, Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. It's Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's, in the Village Plaza, right next to Whole Foods. Now, your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, brought to you this morning by Tire Pros. It is 49 degrees. Winter weather advisory goes into effect at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and will last till midnight. Rain this morning. It's coming down right now. It's very light rain, and everything's kind of soaked out there. Rain with freezing rain likely in the afternoon. Ice accumulation up to a trace. Our high today in the upper 40s, about where we are right now, is as warm as we'll get, and the temperatures will start to decline about lunchtime. We'll get down to around the freezing point by the end of the day. And then tonight, cloudy, freezing rain, and sleet likely. Little or no accumulation of that, but we may get a little ice accumulation. Much colder with a low tonight, about 20. And tomorrow, partly sunny in the morning, and then clearing and cooler with a high of only 35. So winter weather is definitely coming back. Sturdivant's Tire Pros, proudly supporting high school baseball for over 12 years. Sturdivant's Tire Pros is currently holding its spring sale located off Highway 54 West in Chapel Hill. You can call 942-TIRE or visit 942tire.com.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 7:17. The graduate program at UNC was put under the microscope in an article in Sunday's News and Observer after revelations were made that special permissions were given for athletes at UNC. WCHL's Blake Hodge spoke with UNC faculty chair Dr. Bruce Cairns to find out if he was aware of these incidents prior to the report.
No, I was not aware of that, and my understanding is that this occurred in the 2003 time frame, so that would have been about 12, 13 years ago. You know, I think it's very important that all of our policies and procedures that we use for admission and for academic programs, these are the ones that we follow. And, of course, it's been quite a while since those episodes occurred. And since the issues have come to light nearly 20 years with issues related to academic oversight as they relate to athletics, the last 5 years has been really trying to get the policies and procedures in place that would not allow this to happen again, reiterate our principles of academic integrity. We are very disappointed with any sort of violations of these basic principles. And what we need to do is, whether it's involving undergraduates or graduates, the faculty are engaged and involved in developing these policies and procedures, and that we make sure that we're fulfilling our obligation to the students, first and foremost, that they come here with the expectation that we'll provide them an education, as well as the complete university experience, whether they're involved in athletics or not. And so it's really important that we fulfill our duty as faculty and as a university to our students, and that all of our actions should reflect that commitment. And any time that we fail to live up to that standard, it's disappointing. And we need to make sure, as we go through this and as we read about these incidents, that we are doing everything we can to prevent this from happening again.
They appear to be, at this point, the biggest obstacles in setting up the procedures to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And all of the things that seem to be coming out did happen many, many years ago. But do you expect to see any more of these allegations?
The environment that we have today, we need to be very receptive to any issues, even if they occurred, you know, 12 years ago, to addressing them. And I'm not sure what the history is of how this issue was brought to the attention of the folks at Carolina. But I do believe that there has been a concerted effort on multiple fronts to ensure that any of these issues that were identified in the past, and certainly that are in the present or might lead to things that happen in the future, that we have redundancies in place to identify this. And this is one of the changes that we have at Carolina, is there's a mechanism, if you are concerned about something of this nature occurring at Carolina, that there's a way for you to get that reported and then follow it up. Are there other issues related to what occurred 12 years ago or longer that are still out there that we have not heard about? We don't know. If there are, and they're brought to our attention, we will deal with them with the due diligence and process that we've had to deal with these other issues. Would that be disappointing? Absolutely. But it's our obligation and responsibility to address each and every one of these problems as they come up. Hopefully, that's not going to happen, but if it does, we'll have to deal with it.
That is Bruce Cairns, UNC faculty chair, speaking with Blake Hodge. And that's a portion of the conversation, and we'll have another part of the exchange coming up at the bottom of the hour on WCHL. One special announcement to pass along this morning related to the weather. St. Thomas More Catholic School will be closing at 3 today. All other school activities and meetings will be canceled. They're doing that, of course, in anticipation of our wintry weather. That's the only announcement we have to pass along in regards to that. And stay tuned throughout the day. We'll let you know. UNC students Patrick Mateer and William Chapman just claimed a $50,000 prize for their work to increase the food supply in North Carolina. Mateer and Chapman created a for-profit enterprise called Seal the Seasons, which uses flash freezing technology to preserve fruits and vegetables for distribution across the state all year long. That effort won Mateer and Chapman the annual SECU Emerging Issues Prize for Innovation from the Institute for Emerging Issues at North Carolina State. They were up against students from all of North Carolina's colleges and universities. 7:21, time now for championship sports on WCHL. Carolina women's basketball team finished its regular season ranked number 15 in the country, but can't have an off night in the ACC tournament with such talent around the league. Princess Streeter has more on Carolina women's basketball.
North Carolina is headed back to the ACC women's basketball tournament in the Greensboro Coliseum as a number 6 seed. Although the seeding doesn't fare them to win the tournament, Carolina holds two all-ACC first-team selections on its roster, sophomores Alicia Gray and Stephanie Mavunga. Out of the four schools to be placed in the top seeds in the tournament, UNC only beat one of them this season. Gray led Carolina with 22 points to force an upset victory over number 7 Florida State last month in Carmichael Arena.
I think right at this point in time, every team's a little bit beat up, but it is the time of the year. All the ACC games are so tough. You know, especially on the road, you know, you can get pretty banged up. But hey, you got to be tough. You know, it's mental. It's so much of it's a mentality, and that's why I challenge the seniors, because you know it's their team and they've got to lead the way, especially in tough situations like this.
This is the second straight year UNC has been the sixth seed. The Tar Heels advanced to the semifinals in 2014 before a 66-61 loss to Duke. And in the final game of the regular season on Sunday, UNC faced their rival and envisioned ending the game by spoiling Duke's senior day. However, they suffered a one-point loss in Cameron Indoor to complete the Blue Devils' sweep. It was then that head coach Sylvia Hatchell realized that her team would need to develop more heart to compensate for their disadvantages in height.
But between now and the time we get to Greensboro, we're gonna take boxing lessons. We're going to get some boxing gloves out. We're gonna go at it and get a little tougher. Because we got to get tougher if we're going to be able to battle inside and hold our own in there. So we got to get back in the weight room and get a little tougher in there.
Coach Hatchell has repeatedly made it a point to judge her team's success not only by a higher number of points at the end of the game, but also a higher number of rebounds. As ACC play deepened, UNC was often beat on the glass as they depended on their speed for offensive opportunities. While Stephanie Mavunga stands at 6'3", she is often listed as undersized compared to many front court players on ACC program rosters. Mavunga still manages to lead her team in rebounds with 8.7 per game, which places her at 8th best in the conference.
I mean, we're a fast break team, so steals are great for us because, you know, I feel like we finish well, and that's what Carolina basketball is about, getting steals and getting fast break points. So.
There's more on that report from Princess Streeter on our website at chapelboro.com. Carolina's women will play tonight, and you'll hear it right here on WCHL. But think about this. The ACC is so tough that Carolina finished its regular season ranked number 15 in the country, but they are still the number 6 seed in the ACC tournament. That is amazing. The fact that the Chapel Hill High School girls basketball team is the final local high school team remaining in the state playoffs is predictable, but their path to the regional semifinals hasn't been on Friday night. When Chapel Hill plays Eastern Wayne, it will be the Tigers' fourth game in 6 days. Coach Sherry Norris says the weather has wreaked havoc with the state tournament schedule.
I had hoped that they would maybe back the Eastern Regionals up and let us have the 3 rounds next week and then play them the same week as the state playoff. But I understand when you're under contract and you have those type of commitments with the facilities that they're in.
Regardless, Chapel Hill has made the final 8 of the 3A state tournament for the 4th straight year. Tigers are led by Rosalia Farrington, who surpassed 1,000 points for her career and committed to Western Carolina. On Wednesday against Corinth Holders, it was Jessica Wall who led the Tigers with 18 points in an 80-48 win. Autumn West had 16. However, in order for Chapel Hill to claim its 3rd straight berth in the 3A state championship game, they'll have to win 5 games in 7 days. Nora says it's a familiar obstacle.
Now, last year when we went down to the Eastern regionals for the finals. We couldn't travel until a later time. And getting there and being rushed and that type of stuff, and, you know, because we didn't notify them the night before, it was, you know, like, you've got to get here. You should have told us last night. But, you know, our superintendent didn't make that decision then, and so we had to abide by what they told us.
Chapel Hill will face Eastern Wayne tomorrow night at the Crown Coliseum in Fayetteville at 7 o'clock. The winner will play for the 3A Eastern Regional Championship on Saturday night. Again, Chapel Hill High School girls in the Elite Eight and on their way back to another state championship, hopefully. Coming up next hour on WCHL, we'll be talking with UNC coach Mike Fox about the Carolina baseball team and specifically about this coming weekend with the big series coming up against Duke. That's a look at WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you this morning by AT&T Wireless.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
And now, brought to you by the Vapor Girl.
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Carolina and Louisville play for the ACC tournament double bye this weekend. This is Archansky with Thursday Sports Notebook. So it has come down to the last game of the regular season to determine which team gets the all-important fourth seed in the ACC tournament next week. With Virginia having clinched first place and Duke and Notre Dame locked in as the second and third seeds, the Saturday night doubleheader on ESPN could determine who gets the fourth seed in Greensboro and will not have to play until Thursday's quarterfinals. All I know is that no team has ever won the ACC tourney having to play more than three games. Notre Dame did its part Wednesday night by knocking off Louisville at the Yum Center and creating a tie for fourth between the Cardinals and Carolina at 11-6. Louisville plays its final regular season game at 6:30 against second-ranked Virginia, followed by the Tar Heels, of course, entertaining Duke at 9. If one wins and the other loses, there are your fourth and fifth seeds for the tourney. But if both teams win or both teams lose, they will wind up tied for fourth and the tiebreakers kick in. Since they played twice and split their regular season home and home, how they did against the teams from the top of the standings down will go into effect. Louisville beating Virginia will give it to the Cardinals since Carolina lost its only matchup with the Cavaliers. But both teams losing will mean that neither defeated any of the top three, UVA, Duke, or Notre Dame. That's where it could get really sticky. It would depend on how Louisville and UNC did against the sixth-place team. And right now, there could be a two-way or three-way tie for sixth involving Miami, Syracuse, NC State, Clemson, and Pitt. Most of those scenarios are good for Carolina, which won single games against the Hurricanes, Orange, and Clem Tigers. Even though Syracuse won't play in the ACC tourney due to a self-imposed postseason ban, the Orange could determine the fourth seed by winning at NC State at noon Saturday. The Tar Heels' victory when the two teams met in Chapel Hill could give them the fourth seed. If State wins, though, the Pack, having split with UNC and beaten Louisville once, should also give the fourth seed to the Tar Heels. But frankly, that deep into the tiebreakers, I'm not really sure. Ah, conference expansion. This is Archansky. See ya.
Private mortgage insurance, or PMI, can cost you thousands. But with the PMI advantage from Quicken Loans, you may never have to pay those expensive monthly mortgage insurance premiums again. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I'm excited to tell you that the Quicken Loans PMI advantage is our lender-paid mortgage insurance program. You see, we pay the PMI so you don't have to. Make the smart call and talk to one of our home loan experts today at 800-QUICKEN. You'll learn how the Quicken Loans PMI Advantage can give you more options, more flexibility, and may save you thousands when you refinance. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. To learn more, call us at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states and home loss number 33rd.
Weather brought to you this morning by Cruisers. Winter weather advisory goes into effect at 3 p.m. Rain likely this morning. It's coming down right now. There's really light rain out there. Freezing rain likely in the afternoon. A trace of ice expected to accumulate. Our high temperature today, about where it is right now, about 49, then it'll start to go down. Cruisers. Fuel up each morning with Cruisers Fresh Food Beans, Cafe Coffee, Cappuccino, and Hot Chocolate. Guaranteed to taste great at Cruisers. Good to go.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM. WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
A 10-inch knife while getting set for a lecture in Seoul, South Korea. U.S. Ambassador Mark Lippert suffered gashes that required 2 hours of surgery and 80 stitches to repair. He has non-life-threatening wounds to his face and left wrist. An attacker was apprehended quickly.
The war exercise must be stopped. He's heard yelling outside the police station.
That reference to U.S. and South Korean joint military training exercises that began on Monday. And says correspondent Margaret Brennan.
The State Department has condemned the attack. South Korean authorities have done so as well. But so far, no questions have been answered as to how a man with a history of violence was allowed into this event by South Korean authorities and how he got past U.S. agents who are assigned to protect the U.S. envoy.
Police in Seoul are investigating the suspect's history. Cops say in 2010 he threw a piece of concrete at the Japanese ambassador. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 49 degrees. Temperatures are going to start to plummet early in the afternoon and go all the way down to near freezing by the end of the day. And then tonight we're going to be back in the teens, possibly. And our low tonight projected to be 20 degrees. It's going to be really cold, in other words. And today marks the anniversary of a very dark day that many here in the Chapel Hill, Carrboro, UNC community will certainly never forget. It seems like it was just yesterday. WCHL's Aaron Keck has more.
On March 5th, 2008, Eve Carson was shot and killed.
Victim has been identified as Eve Carson, age 22, a UNC senior and current UNC student body president. Eve was a resident of Chapel Hill and a highly regarded member of the university community.
That was then Chapel Hill Police Chief Brian Curran. It's been 7 years now since that day, and Eve Carson's spirit lives on at UNC. The Eve Carson Scholarship is awarded annually to rising seniors at UNC who are making a difference in our community and around the world. UNC Media Relations Assistant Helen Buchanan.
The Eve Carson Scholarship was established here at the university, and it was to further Eve's mission here. You know, she loved this university with all her heart, and she loved the students here. And the Eve Carson Scholarship is a way to celebrate those students who exhibit that same passion and growth here at Carolina, and much like Eve did.
Buchanan adds that the scholarship is very peer-driven, with a selection committee made up of students.
The values that Eve instilled from this university, it's about empathy and passion and being inquisitive about the world. So what better way than to have students celebrate that with their peers?
Buchanan says several of the scholarship recipients stand out as carrying on the legacy that Carson left behind.
Any interested junior in the scholarship, passionate about food donations or helping poor in Africa, there have been all sorts of things. We had one student who actually received one of the first ones. He's actually transformed his into a cancer research donation fund.
Buchanan says 2 to 3 scholarships are typically awarded each year. The scholarships cover for half of the students' tuition, as well as a $5,000 stipend for their summer service project. The spirit of helping others helps Eve Carson's memory live on.
Hey, y'all. My name is Eve Carson, and I'm your student body president. It's great to be in Chapel Hill. If you're a returning student, can't wait to see you again. If you're a new student, welcome to the Carolina family.
You can donate to the Eve Carson Scholarship through a link on our website, chapelboro.com. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
That was March 5th, 2008, exactly 7 years ago. At the time, the chancellor at UNC was James Meeser. Now he's UNC Chancellor Emeritus. Now he's calling on residents of North Carolina to stand up for our state's universities. WCHL's Blake Hodge has more.
Anxiety has fallen on much of the UNC campus following decisions recently made by the University System Board of Governors, from the removal of Tom Ross as president of the UNC system to the closure of centers on three campuses across the state. Chancellor Emeritus James Meeser says that he believes there is one motivating factor for these decisions.
There's an old saying, when they say it's not about money, it's about money. And my corollary to that is, when they say it's not about politics, it's about politics.
Now, Meeser is referring to the dramatic shift among state lawmakers and correspondingly to the appointed members of the Board of Governors.
I think the things that have happened in the last few weeks, decisions by the Board of Governors, comments that have been made publicly by state policymakers and leaders, has sent a chill across the campus and into the faculty, and I think a lot of people are concerned about whether this university will be able to stay on course.
Meeser adds that he's concerned many faculty members may end up leaving the university if they feel the university's academic freedom has been compromised along with the work that they do,
which includes questioning public leaders and their motives and having the freedom to speak out.
Now, he adds that he wrote this particular article to appeal to the residents of Chapel Hill and all of the Tar Heel State to stand up for the university system.
Right now, the faculty are very concerned about the state of the university, and that's why, in a sense, the purpose of this piece was really directed not to the campus, but beyond the campus, to the people of this state who I know love this university, cherish it, actually, and don't want to see harm done to it.
Meeser says that he believes this is a crucial time for the university and the people who are questioning its direction.
What people always do, they speak up and they say, enough, stop this political interference. This university has never been the pawn of any political group. Let's not let it become that. There's too much at stake here, a great university.
Meeser credits the 17-campus university system for many of the advances made in the Tar Heel State.
The University of North Carolina really led the whole South and allowed North Carolina to be different from the rest of the South. And as a result, we are a different state today. We have Research Triangle Park. We have great universities. We have Charlotte. So much came to North Carolina because of the greatness of confluence of great universities right here in the Triangle. That is not something to be trifled with.
Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The graduate program at UNC was put under the microscope in an article in Sunday's News and Observer after revelations were made that special permissions were granted for athletes at Carolina. Blake Hodge spoke with UNC faculty chair Dr. Bruce Cairns about that, and here is part two of their discussion. As we presented earlier today, you can hear the whole conversation on our website. Here's a portion of that.
Standpoint, this should have never happened at Carolina, and we are responsible for ensuring this doesn't happen, and when it does, then we're being held accountable. It is the responsibility of the reporters and the media and the public university to identify these issues, and we believe we all work for the people of the state of North Carolina, so we have to figure out how to work together to make sure that if there are any concerns and any problems, that we identify them and address them. It's our obligation as a public university in this state. And we've always prided ourselves on that. And I think we need to continue to look at it that way and just continue to address the issues as they come up. I don't think that it is our place to say whether or not people have the right to ask these questions. Absolutely, they do. And, you know, as a public university, it's our responsibility to answer to them and do the best we can. And as we address those issues, that case will be made by itself, and the answers will speak for themselves. And we would anticipate that they would be duly reported. But if there continue to be problems, then we need to continue to address them.
All the revelations just seem to be coming up from long, long ago. So that was kind of my basis for asking that.
Yeah, but you know, the foundation, and I understand that, but as they come up, they certainly should never have been there. And so people ask the question, they go, well, can we really believe in what we thought our university was doing? And then those are legitimate questions, and we have to be able to answer those. I think with confidence we can say that this really difficult and challenging set of circumstances has allowed us to redouble our efforts, to look at who we are, to look at why we're here, and how we're implementing and delivering on this mission, and really making sure that we are fulfilling those obligations. In some ways, not only does that allow us to make sure that we have the proper checks and balances and that we're fulfilling our mission, in other ways, we're benefiting. Because there's been discussion about, well, if this is happening in other institutions, how many other places are challenged with the whole issue related to athletics? And I don't think that they've had the benefit. Yes, it's been challenging, but they haven't had the benefit of having to look at every single thing that they're doing, all of their processes, their cultures, their philosophies, and how they address it. Have something like the Weinstein Report and be able to work this out in a public forum. Is that hard? You bet. Does it keep us from doing other things? You can only do so much. But is it important for us to go through this? Absolutely. Will we be a better university at the end of it? I'm absolutely convinced. We just have to keep everybody focused on what we're here to do, teach our students, do the cutting-edge research, provide service to the people of the state of North Carolina, and then make sure that we're fulfilling our obligations in these other arenas. And as long as there's questions out there about that, we're going to keep working on it. And we have over 300 faculty who have been involved in numerous committees over the years that have addressed these issues, and we've had a record interest on our campus in faculty governance and the ones that are charged with looking at the issues that we're talking about. And so I think that the faculty do feel a sense of ownership, and they really do want to work on getting this right so that, people can be proud of their university. I think you should be proud of our university. We're doing some great things, but it has to span the entire gamut, particularly the areas where people are concerned.
As Bruce Cairns, UNC faculty chair, speaking with Blake Hodge, and you can hear more of that discussion in the coming days concerning the admission policies in place for student athletes at Carolina, as well as Dr. Cairns' reaction to the recent decision from the university system board of governors to shut down three different centers around the state. And you know what Chancellor Meester, former Chancellor Meester, said just a moment ago really resonated with me, Nikki. He said, you know, when they say it's not about politics, it's about politics.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When they say it's not about money, it's about money.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say, when you know, somebody says, needless to say, they don't need to say it. I mean, it's the same thing. Chancellor Meester is a smart guy.
Very.
I mean, that's absolutely the case.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. What a 7 years ago today, we found out about Eve Carson. It was just really a dark day in Chapel Hill history, university history. And that's a crime that just stunned everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, we're always stunned when a tragedy happens like that. And just an atrocity. I mean, it's horrible. But you know, I'm really concerned that we all, over a period of time, this kind of stuff happens more and more around the country, and
yeah.
That we all become more desensitized to it. You know, we were such a state of shock,
right?
7 years ago when this happened with Eve Carson, and recently with that horrible thing that happened with the three students who were killed.
Devastating.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm just concerned that this kind of stuff, as it happens more and more, you know, people sort of take it for granted and don't get as upset as they
probably should be.
Would have,
yeah,
years ago because you know, it didn't happen like that all those years ago.
Very true. I always think about how hard it would be to live in one of those countries where there's always conflict.
Oh.
And it just seems to me that, you know, the more time goes by, the more we kind of get like that, too, to an extent. And I don't ever want to be in that position.
No.
And I, you know, still can't imagine what that would be like.
It's just, you know, why can't we all just get along? Come on. Well, 743 WCHL, yeah, I know people have said that before, but it still makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah. What's happening at, we got a lot of stuff on chapelboro.com. Tell us about it, would you?
Well, you know, it's like this, and I'm going to get up on my soapbox just a tad about this, too, because, you know, yeah, it's another great topic.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, Chapel Hill police are going to be carrying that naloxone.
Uh-huh.
First Carrboro, now Chapel Hill. They've already got the training, and they're going to be carrying it. And I'm really glad that they have these resources. But one has to ask, how bad is the drug overdose problem if the police department has to carry this stuff on them?
Really?
I mean, can we just have that thought process? Why are we having these problems? Why are we having to have the police carry this stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad they do. But at the same time, it's like, is there a bigger problem that we need to be looking into?
Yeah, just to, it was sort of like, and this is a totally different thing, but sort of like I was saying, Carolina finished its regular women's basketball season, ranked number 15 in the country,
mm-hmm.
but they're number 6 seed in the ACC. I mean, that says how talented the ACC is.
Yes.
But, and this kind of thing that you're talking about really says how bad the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly. It's got to be bad for them to have this stuff.
It's got to be.
Mm-hmm. The ACC Women's Basketball Tournament, of course, in Greensboro is tonight. First game. Pre-game show starts at 8:15 right here at WCHL, so make sure you're listening. Susan Murray's been out and about and has some great pictures of the amazing team of volunteers at the Chapel Hill Carborough Meals on Wheels. They attended a thank you luncheon for their faithful dedication to the nonprofit. So some great pictures there, and those people really deserve a lot. I know my grandmother used to get Meals on Wheels delivered to her, and it was such a great thing. She really, really, really enjoyed the people that would come over and help her, and I think that, you know, they do a tremendous job and should be thanked.
It's about so much more than the food.
It sure is.
Yeah, it's like the visit and the socializing aspect of the whole thing.
Exactly.
A lot of these people don't see anybody else, can't get out, you know, and it's just a wonderful program, Meals on Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And all of our stories, of course, all of our news stories, including that Bruce Cairns interview and a lot of stuff about Eve Carson, the anniversary of that, is on our website, chapelbrew.com. Now, of course, with instantly live streaming, out an app for that. We'll lighten the mood a little bit. We have a rather humorous commentary on the way from Ellie Kinnaird. And that is on the way next.
Hi, this is Greg Overbeck for the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. We've been running ads on CHL for a while, encouraging you to support your community and dine locally. We wanted you to know that we'd obviously love it if you chose Squid, Spanky's, or 411 West every night. But when you decide to dine somewhere else, please choose one of the many fine, locally owned, independent restaurants in the area. Why independent? Well, chains spend their money back at corporate headquarters in Chicago or New York or L.A., but not locally. A recent study showed that locally owned restaurants reinvest in their communities at 3 times the rate the chains do. In the long run, the fact that local businesses do business locally leads to more resources for our community. Better schools, better teachers, more public services. You're not saving the world when you go out to eat, but every little bit makes a difference. So please, support your community and dine locally. Thanks again from the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group.
There are many reasons people sell gold and silver to Jewel Recycle in University Mall. Inheritance of unwanted jewelry and flatware, gifts from the ex, downsizing, or just for a little extra cash. But did you know the manufacturer of an average gold ring creates more than 20 tons of mining waste? Selling unused jewelry is the green thing to do. Jewel Recycle in University Mall is the Triangle's top gold buyer. Visit them for a no-obligation, generous offer. Also on the web at jewelrecycle.com.
Are you or a loved one living with a chronic condition such as heart disease, arthritis, diabetes, asthma, or depression? UNC Family Medicine's Healthy Living Classes are for you. Living Healthy is a free 6-week workshop to help you understand and manage your symptoms, including learning how to manage your medication and tips and support for healthy eating and exercise. Join us. Learn and take control for more healthy living. For more information, call 962-4971. UNC Family Medicine, caring for the course of your life.
Looking for a classic village lifestyle plus a sophisticated new home? Visit Stanley Martin Homes at Winmore, just off Homestead Road in Chapel Hill. Not only does Winmore offer a pool, playground, trails, and open space, your children can walk to Sewell Elementary and Chapel Hill High School. The UNC bus route stops at Winmore, right near Town Center, too. Stanley Martin Homes offers the best in energy efficiency and a choice of 3 beautiful designs at Winmore, starting in the 370s. Go see them or go to stanleymartin.com.
Thank you, superstar, disc jockey, morning talk show host. Been here forever, keeping us doing it right, Ronstadt.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Ellie Kinnaird. Headline, Raleigh drug maker submits female libido pill to the Food and Drug Administration. Really? They're spending millions to find a drug to raise female libido when there already is one that has been around forever. Chocolate. Why is it that every Valentine's Day the stores are filled with heart-shaped boxes of luscious chocolate? Why are men rushing at the last minute to grab the last of these boxes just in time to make it home? Because Valentine's Day is the most romantic day of the year. So, stop wasting precious research dollars on developing a product that tastes bad, is no fun to take, and has no more effect than a Lady Godiva candy bar. Oh, and why is the chocolate company named Lady Godiva? Wasn't she the woman who rode through the town on a horse without a stitch on? Maybe there's a clue there. But maybe the researchers are loveless nerds who can't get a date except with a loveless lady nerd, and they both just read the New England Journal of Medicine at night together instead of doing you-know-what. So, Food and Drug Administration, don't approve that useless research and put your stamp of approval on a Whitman sampler, but only the ones without coconut. This is Ellie Kinnaird.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Thanks, Ellie. We needed a little bit of levity today. This traffic report on WCHL is brought to you by Cruisers. And here's Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Wet roadways, so use extra caution. Northbound Fordham Boulevard, starting to see some crowded lanes approaching Manning Drive. Full lanes as well. Northbound Durham Freeway approaching Alexander through Austin Avenue. And 40 eastbound now heavily traveled with some brake lights showing up between 54 and Highway 55. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or tweet us. The WCHL Chapelboro.
Cruisers, where you can fuel up each morning with Cruisers Fresh Fruit Beans Cafe Coffee, Cappuccino, and Hot Chocolate. Make it your way every day. Guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carpenter Weather, presented by the Carolina Inn. Winter Weather Advisory goes into effect at 3 p.m. Rain this morning. Obviously, it's wet out there. Rain with freezing rain likely in the afternoon. Ice accumulation up to a tenth of an inch. It's about as warm as it's going to get. Early in the afternoon, temperatures are going to start to go down. We'll get down near freezing by the end of the day. And then tonight, cloudy, freezing rain, and sleet likely. And much colder, low about 20. Tomorrow, partly sunny in the morning and then clearing. Cooler, though, with a high in the middle 30s. 751 at WCHL. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, where you can savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by executive chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Ladies and gentlemen, time now for Wayne Pond. Say the word, you'll be free. All you got to do is say the word. Say the word and be like me. And Dr. Pond, how are you today?
Well, I'm just fine. My mind is filled with a burning question.
What is that?
What does Ellie Kinnaird have against coconut?
It gets in your teeth, I guess. I don't know.
Is this a question we really want to ask on the radio?
Probably not, but I'll ask Ellie.
All right, guys, here we go. The word of the day, got a dandy for you this morning, Ron. Nikki, you've heard the term palooka.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, he's just a big palooka.
Right.
P as in Paul, P-A-L-O-O-K-A. P, again, P as in Paul, P-A-L-O-O-O-K-A, palooka. It's a noun. It's all about somebody who's sort of big and dumb, inexperienced, incompetent, particularly an athlete, and especially particularly a boxer. But the fun of this word is trying to figure out where it originated. According to the wordsmith, it comes into the language in the 1920s, may have been invented by a sports writer, and it's more emphatically associated with a cartoon, a newspaper cartoon by a guy named Ham Fisher.
Yeah.
But the problem is Joe Palooka in the cartoon was, he was big and he was athletic, but he wasn't dumb.
Yeah.
So we got a little mystery going on here. Are you intrigued or are you intrigued?
I was thinking that it's, isn't that the same thing as a galoot?
A glute?
Galoot.
Oh, a galoot. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Galoot.
A galoot. Good
big
question.
Galoot.
Good question, Nikki. Galoot may, my instant reaction is galoot may have something to do with Western Americana rather than athletics, but that's just a guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. Yeah, I mean, I've heard that a lot, palooka, you know, especially when it comes to boxing. You know, so that's a great word there, Wayne.
All right, pal, P-A-L-O-O-K-A, a noun, palooka, an inexperienced or incompetent boxer, and in a broader definition, an oaf, a lout, or a member of the North Carolina legislature.
Oh,
no, wait, it doesn't say that.
If we could only get him to tell us how he really feels.
I know.
Hey, Wayne, have a good day, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I have no idea.
Next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. I'm now for the clean joke of the day, and here's Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. There once was a Scotsman and an Englishman who lived next door to each other. The Scotsman owned a hen, and each morning he would look in his garden and pick up one of the hen's eggs for breakfast. One day he looked outside and saw the hen had laid an egg in the Englishman's garden. He was about to go next door when he saw the Englishman pick up the egg. So he ran over to the Englishman and told him that the egg belonged to him because he owned the hen. The Englishman, of course, disagreed because it was laid on his property. They argued for a while, and finally the Scotsman said, "In my family, we normally solve disputes by the following actions. I punch you in the nose and note how long it takes for you to recover, and then you punch me in the nose and note how long it takes for me to recover. Whoever recovers quicker gets the egg." The Englishman agreed to this, so the Scotsman held the heaviest object he could find, took a few steps back, then ran towards him and punched him as hard as he could in the nose. The Englishman fell to the ground and was howling in agony and holding his nose for 30 minutes. Eventually, the Englishman stood up and said, "Now it's my turn to punch you." Scotsman said, "Keep the lousy egg."
Well, there was at least one palooka in that exchange. A clean joke of the day with the inimitable Nikki Morse.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Dr. Deborah Bender has been an amazing help in Mimi Collins' ESL classroom at Colbert Middle School. She's been volunteering there. The students really enjoy spending time with her as well.
I go to Miss Collins' class every Wednesday, and I work with different groups of students. I work with them on science and math problems, and sometimes I sit with some of the younger boys and help them read a book.
Deborah Bender is today's WCHL hometown hero. She says doing this volunteer work is extremely rewarding.
What a difference a little extra help makes. One of my favorite things to do with the younger children is to sit and read a book with them, sort of help them with the pronunciation of words, because what they hear in the hallways is not exactly the way we spell words when we're writing.
That's true.
And to watch the smile that bursts across the face when a word that, like walking, is walking in the book, and they see the connection, is worth every afternoon.
Deborah Bender is a retired University of North Carolina professor. She spent 3 decades there.
I was there for 30 plus years.
Wow.
I was a professor in the School of Public Health in the Department of Health Policy and Management, and my emphasis was really on maternal and child health. And I worked a lot at the intersection of what I call the formal and the informal care. So I would do focus groups with mothers and then sit down with doctors who are providing care and saying, here's what the mothers think. Do you think you could adjust your care plan a little bit? Because they would like postnatal care visits, because that's when they feel they're at risk.
After a long, productive career at Carolina, Deborah Bender could be just sitting back and relaxing now, but she still enjoys spending time in the classroom with the kids. She says it's her way of giving back.
Now, being in the classroom is the place that I belong, and watching kids grow, being able to have the time to nurture them and to adjust the rigors of our country, and knowing what they went through in their early lives, knowing the relatively easy life that I've lived by somewhat the coincidence of being born in the United States rather than in another country. So it's very rewarding.
Well, the volunteer office with the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System certainly appreciates what you do, and so do we. Most of all, the kids are rewarded, and that's the most important part. Dr. Deborah Bender, retired UNC professor, volunteer in the classroom. Today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary 4-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing, and we can say we knew her when. Visit unchildrens.org.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
It's 8 o'clock.
You're listening to 97.9 FM and 1360.